The Buddha talked about processes of body and mind. In particular, he kind of framed it as a list, the five aggregates. Process of body, feeling, perception, mental formations, and consciousness. This is just one way of describing the processes, the human system. There are others. He also used the six sense bases as a way to describe what's going on in our bodies and minds. But this particular list, the five aggregates, in one teaching, in one sutta, he kind of did describe the job description of each of these aggregates. The job of the body, of form, of the physical process, is to be contacted, to receive experience, to be touched. The job of feeling, he says, is to feel. What does it feel? It feels pleasant, it feels unpleasant, it feels neither pleasant nor unpleasant. The job of perception is to perceive, recognize what experience is, to perceive color, shape, pitch, tone. The job of consciousness, he says, is just to know. What does it know? It knows sight, sound, smell, taste, touch, and things in the mind. The job of mental formations is a little more complex. Of mental formations, the description, the activity of mental formation is described as shaping or as forming experience. And so he says, why is it called mental formation? Because it forms things. What does it form? What does it shape? What does it construct? It constructs physicality, conditioned physicality, as physicality, and it uses conditioned in each of these. It constructs conditioned feeling as feeling. It constructs conditioned perception as perception. It constructs conditioned consciousness as consciousness. And it constructs conditioned formations as formations. Essentially, this aspect of mind and body being the shaper of the mind and body. This is another way of pointing to what we talked about the other day, the Honeyball Sutta, where it pointed to all of the constructions, the papancha, the perceptions and notions of mental proliferation, reforming, reshaping the contact, the knowing of experience and the feeling and the perception. And so this is to me this is an incredibly profound teaching that the mental formations, what is shaping in our minds, if that's aversion, it tends to shape how we perceive things, what we actually know, what the feeling is. We can kind of see this, actually, if we even reflect on this with respect to aversion or anger, for instance. How does anger shape the system? When anger arises, the physicality tends to be tight. There's a kind of a pressure and heat, perhaps, in the system. Can even physically shape the face to distort the face into an expression of anger. It shapes feeling. The anger itself, the feeling of anger itself, tends to be unpleasant. Although this is a shifting, changing experience while anger is happening. But it also tends to shape how we feel what's arising. And so, for instance, at one point doing walking meditation, I was noticing that the mind had a lot of aversion in it. Just noticing, and that aversion tended to be, you know, because the room was really crowded and there were a lot of people there. And so it was related to that. I knew that it was related to my aversion to having so many people around. So that was the quality in the mind. I came to the end of my walking path and I turned around, and at the end of my walking path was somebody else's shoes. And the mind just like that was really unpleasant, and it exploded in even more aversion. And so this is the feeling tone of seeing those shoes was unpleasant. That feeling tone could have been something completely different had the mind not been shaped by aversion. So the feeling tone itself was shaped. The feeling tone of seemingly neutral experience was shaped by that quality in the mind. What we perceive, what we know, what we even take in is shaped by those mental formations. We tend to orient to things to be averse about when there's aversion in the mind. And, as I just described in that example, the seeing of the shoes at the end of the path generated even more aversion. That anger, that aversion arising, being shaped by the prior aversion. The same kind of process can hold true of wholesome emotions, wholesome qualities, which can shape wholesomeness. And so there's hope in this process. There's hope here. It's not hopeless. And the hope arises in connection with mindfulness and wisdom. Because the seeing of these shaping functions in the mind, the mindfulness and wisdom, the seeing of that seems to have a power that they themselves have job descriptions. They themselves have a function of shaping the mind. And the way that mindfulness and wisdom shape the mind is to learn about what is arising and to recognize the suffering of the unwholesome states, and to recognize the way the wholesome states condition more the direction more of well-being. And so the process of our practice is actually using this shaping process for shaping the conditions that can lead to freedom. So just to reiterate, this is not something to aim the mind at, to try to figure out, to dive in and try to pull something apart, to understand the job description of something, or very much the way, or a helpful way perhaps. And I've certainly done a lot of that. I've done a lot of that kind of digging apart, pulling apart. And there has been some benefit from that, I have to say. And yet it also, that kind of like putting it under the microscope and saying, what's that? Kind of like diving in. And there's often some kind of greed in there, or maybe a little bit of aversion. Sometimes I've seen the mind dive into that, get stuck to something, trying to figure it out because it wants it to go away, or it wants to figure it out so that there'll be control over it. And so, you know, that is a kind of a motivation sometimes for us to investigate. And yet, you know, there is a, I don't remember if I said this in this group or in one of the smaller groups, that the that investigation, you know, even if it has some greed to it or a little bit of aversion to it, if that greed or aversion around the investigation is not as strong as the thing that's being investigated. So, for instance, I used a lot of this while investigating self-hatred, investigating, you know, anger. I really dived in and looked at things. And the clinging to that investigation while observing self-hatred was not nearly as unwholesome as the self-hatred itself. And so, you know, that's kind of like this process of investigation can be staged. That the clinging to a wholesome quality of mind, such as investigation, can help us to let go of something more unwholesome. And yet, at some point, if we have been, and many of us do, cling to the practice, cling to states of mind, cling to wholesome qualities, at some point the suffering around that clinging will become clear, and that's really when we need to kind of be curious about, oh, that clinging to that wholesome quality. And yet there is a way in this practice, you know, this practice very much is, it's much more receptive. It's not about picking up things to do so much. And what I'm pointing to here is that this discussion of getting to know the job description of something doesn't have to be a picking up and doing of figuring it out. It can be the simple, it's almost like that, this discussion or this curiosity of what is the job description. At one point, sitting in the meeting with Saito Utejaniya, he says he described the job description of greed. And I thought, well, what's the job description of aversion? And instead of asking him the question, I decided that would be a kind of, you know, question in my meditation. But rather than like sitting down and like trying to figure it out, it's just like when aversion arose, it'd be like, oh, that question. Well, what's the nature of aversion? Rather than kind of like trying to understand the specifics of this aversion, it was more this general, what is the nature of this? And over the course of multiple experiences, multiple times connecting with that experience, with mindfulness and wisdom, the kind of underlying pattern that seemed to be the nature of aversion began to become more clear. And at some point, weeks, or I don't even know how long it was you know, weeks or even months into this process, the articulation of that job description arose in the mind. It wasn't something I like sat down and tried to pull apart and figure out. Very much this kind of investigation can be a very natural, almost side effect of the curiosity, just the intention of curiosity, of being with experience. Our organism is designed to learn. If we get out of the way, this is what it will do. We can see this with babies. I mean, babies are like learning machines. Whatever situation they're in, they're going to be absorbing and learning from it. this is the nature of our system, is to learn. And so opening to this experience, what's here, with a curiosity, that's enough. We don't have to dive in and try to figure something out. So, enjoy your day, and I'll see some of you in the small group at 10, and back at 1:30.